AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt, Eric here today.
Hey.
Stein joining us a little bit later on to talk about not only the China trade deal, but as well also the shootings and Trump and blah, that idiot. Anyway, have you been able to get out and enjoy? It's a relatively nice day today.
I haven't today. Yesterday I was outside pretty much all day.
Got over to the Bell Museum. Which, you know, sometimes, I mean, I think it's great that a lot of these organizations try to get kids on out there to these museums. But just in my time, I've had kids, and I got a senior in high school now. He's my oldest. And just so in the time I've had kids, it's gone from where summer you could pretty much go into Science Museum, Minnesota History Museum, and many of the, you know, the Minnesota Zoo, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you might run into one field trip group. But that was pretty much it, and for the most part, a lot of those places were, you know, until later in the day, where if you went in early, we were able to get in pretty quick. Not anymore. My goodness. I mean, and to the point, I think it's great. I mean, I think if this town kicks caboose, it's got so many things going on here, I think you should go on out and enjoy it. I mean, I think back of growing up as a kid, and I'd ask my parents to, you know, maybe take us to a movie theater in a neighboring town, and they acted as like, you want to go all the way over there?
Over the river?
You want to go over 3 miles? You can just go watch Steel Magnolias over at the Bijou. You know, love that movie. I just love that movie. Saw it a lot. Anyway, needless to say, I think you have this incredible city that runs, you know, from Wisconsin over to Watertown, and you know, from every direction you come in, there's something going on. There's some cool thing for you to go see, and I think it's great that they go do it. It does kind of like, there are 3 seats available for the planetarium. Who else is in the planetarium? 3 school groups. You know what? I'll pass. I will pass. I will not lock myself in a room with stars, even if it's like Laser Frampton. I'm not going to do that because I'm smarter than that. So
yeah, I can feel myself getting sticky. Just
how many sneezers do we have? We'll sit all right by that gentleman over there. I will say, too, I want to give the Bell Museum a lot of credit. They got a beautiful garden over there. We were hiking around there, and it's lovely. If you haven't been out to the Bell Museum, it's the new one that they built. It's up by the St. Paul campus. Is with the Larpinder. I can't remember. It's not at Cleveland. Larpinder at Cleveland. It might be. Needless to say, it's up on the northwest side. You just go to Larpinder. Go 280 to Larpinder, hook a right. And just, you know, right past the University of Minnesota golf course there. It's right there. And it's spectacular, you know, and a lot of great signs there. But yeah, get out and enjoy the city. And I feel bad for the parents because, you know, your kids – and what'd you do today? Well, I went to the Science Museum. I went to the Minnesota History Museum. We went to Fort Snelling. We went to Como Zoo. We went to the Bell Museum. We went to the Arboretum. We went and did all these things. What'd you do? I stayed and worked in the office. Get out and enjoy it by all means. It's a fantastic city, and we got State Fair coming up here in a few weeks, so you know, you got a few weeks. Get out and, you know, even if you don't go anywhere, this town kicks caboose. It absolutely does. 952-946-6205. We have to do an update on a story from a long time ago, actually. This is actually from the holidays, and it was a beaut of a humdinger, if you remember correctly. 2 Minneapolis police officers who were suspended last winter for decorating the police station's Christmas tree with racist ornaments were fired from the department last week, officials said. I want to stop once again and just point out they put racist ornaments on a Christmas tree. Racist ornaments on a Christmas tree. Wow. In the lobby of their workplace.
That's what really blows me away, that it was just in the lobby. They didn't even know they were supposed to.
Hey, come on and take a look at the racist Christmas tree. What kind of idiots? And it was apparently up for a while when everyone walked past. Hey, look, it's a racist Christmas tree. Wow. The officers, Mark Bohnsack, Bohnsack, and Brandy Steberg, were put on administrative leave shortly after the photo of the tree surfaced on social media. Then it went viral. It went international viral, by the way. Nice job. The incident provoked outcries of racial discrimination. Well, that wasn't ice cries. It was racial discrimination. That wasn't an outcry. It was a racist Christmas tree. Basically racial discrimination with many, including Mayor Jacob Fry, calling for the officer's termination. Now, you might be saying to yourself, you know, hey, well, Matt, what's the big deal? You fired two officers. They were young kids. They made a stupid mistake. Does it really have to go like this far? Young kids. Let's go. Young kids. Bonsack is 43. Steberg is 47. Sweet Jesus. These guys, what the hell, man? And I'm not saying I would tolerate this if it was some 21-year-old idiot. I'm not saying I would. I'm not. But come on, man. Your lapse of judgment is Olympic caliber. I mean, it is truly Olympic caliber. Wow. They decorated the tree with a pack of menthol cigarettes, a can of Steel Reserve malt liquor, police tape, some chips, and a bag of Popeye's Louisiana chicken. Jesus. Jesus. The 4th Precinct Inspector Aaron Baird was demoted in the wake of the episode. And good news, police union said Wednesday that it's already filed appeals on behalf of both officers. Hey, come on, guys. Who hasn't been a little racist now and then, huh? Who hasn't desecrated Jesus' birth with a racist Christmas tree at least 4 or 5 times in their lives? Come on, guys. Come on. Get these jackasses out of my state. Seriously. Get them gone. Go. And police union, I know you're out there looking out. There's no excuse for this. There's no, they didn't fill out this in triplicate. You need to pay them. No. They made a racist Christmas tree in the lobby of the police station. And they were 43 and 47. Wow. Seriously. God, I'm just dumbfounded by the level, the spectacular level of incompetence here. Just, and how many people walk past this tree and not one of them go, sweet Jesus, what are you doing? Take this stuff down now.
That's what I'm thinking. Two people were fired, but everyone who was working in that station must have seen it multiple times a day.
Hey, Bob. Hi, Mary. Hey, racist Christmas tree.
Why is there Popeyes hanging from a Christmas tree?
Why is the malt liquor can on the liquor tree? Why the menthol cigarettes? What's going on here? All of you, all y'all should be ashamed. I'm going to pull a Southern on you. All y'all should be ashamed. All y'all should be just damn ashamed. And God. It pains me. It pains me. Last night, I posted pictures up on online. Last night, we had a national night out. And I'm in the city of Hopkins. Good turnout in our neighborhood. And the Hopkins police came on by. Just great. Absolutely fantastic. And the Hopkins police have been magnificent. They really have. They're a top-notch police force. And, you know, it's just a pleasure living in Hopkins when you have people like this. And I can tell you right now, that not only would no one in that department do something like this, there's no one in the department who would walk past it and not immediately take it to the dumpster in the back. I don't know what your hiring practices are there in Minneapolis. I don't know what your tolerance, what your managerial training's like. I don't know what the hell's going on there. But you give every police officer a bad name when you do crap like this. And how many of you are like me? Had a national night out event last night. We're out in the street. Police were there, shaking hands, being part of the community. That's what we should be striving for. Not having to have, you know, officers who have nothing to do with it have to say, yeah, that was pretty stupid, wasn't it? Just let them go. Police union, just let them go. Because they're not doing you any favors. They're not doing you any favors. And don't act like this was some sort of grand, you know, wrong. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. In a move described as highly unusual, Minnesota Court of Appeals has put a hold on a crucial state permit for Polymet Mining's proposed copper-nickel mine on the Iron Range, pending an investigation of irregularities during the permit process. Staying the permit is in the public interest, said Chief Judge Edward Cleary, because a substantial issue has been raised as to the regularity of the MPCA, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency's, proceedings in granting the permit. The ruling issued Tuesday is the latest twist in a decades-long regulatory gauntlet for Polymet, whose plans for the mine have triggered a passionate statewide debate over job creation versus environmental risks. Polymet received the final state permits in late in 2018, including a key water quality permit from Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. The water quality permit has generated escalating legal questions after a group of environmental advocates organized charged that Minnesota's regulators had mishandled it in negotiations with their counterparts at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. The EPA's Inspector General has since opened an investigation, as has the Minnesota Legislative Auditor Jim Nobles. And in case you missed it, what it was this. The EPA kept coming back to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and saying, no, you got a lot of problems here. You can't just give them a water quality permit. You can't just, you know, check mark. No. You got a lot of issues here. And the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency said, thanks, shut up. And something of that. I'm paraphrasing, I'm guessing, because they issued the permit. And since then, we have seen the report from the EPA saying, no, this should not have been approved there. The legal review of the permit's handling has been moved to Ramsey County District Court in St. Paul, where a hearing is set for Wednesday. The hold was requested by several environmental groups and the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, whose land lies downstream from Polymet's proposed open mine pit near Babbitt and the processing operation near Hoyt Lakes. Paula McEnbee, a lawyer with the Minnesota nonprofit Water Legacy, said the stay will allow the better investigation into the handling of the NPCA permit. Catherine Hoffman, chief executive of the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, agreed it was unusual. She applauded the decision. The court has recognized the substantial evidence. The MPCA actively worked to conceal significant concerns by EPA scientists who highlighted critical questions about Polymet's potential to pollute Minnesota's waters. The MPCA issued a statement saying the water quality permit process was thorough. Polymet's 749-page permit is a result of extensive collaborative process, not apparently without the EPA, at least partially. The hold on the permit may be just temporary setback for Toronto-based Polymet. You think the Canadians give a rat's caboose about what happens? Of course not. Of course not. They want the money. This is not Mom-Pa Mines. Mom-Pa, we went out there with our pickaxe and we started working the ground. And we had the kids. We had junior and junior junior and junior 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 all come on out, and we all were digging away. No, it's an international mining group out of Toronto. It's Canadians. And they don't give a rat's caboose about Minnesota. They don't. Hogwash. We got a hogwash report here. Good-paying jobs that are family-sustaining, said Ely Mayor Chuck Novak. To buy food in our grocery store, stop at our hardware stores. Novak called the investigation of Polymet's water permit hogwash. Oh, Ely Mayor Chuck Novak, how dumb and narrow-minded are you, you fool? How seriously? How dumb and narrow-minded? Because I guarantee you this, if Polymet screws this up, you're going to lose a hell of a lot more. A hell of a lot more. Well, from tourism than the 40 or so jobs you'll pick up from Polymet. So you can sit there. I mean, I was just in Ely. I guarantee you those restaurants on the street, they're not going to be filled with miners every night. They're going to be filled with tourists. And you know what people don't like going and doing tourism things in? Poisoned water, land, and air. God forbid. But hey, 20 jobs. Good for you, Ely. Good for you. That will be something to warm yourself on the fires and the steel drums you're going to be burning as they foreclose on your houses, because no one wants to go there because they polluted the living daylights out of your waters. And don't worry. Chuck Novak will be the mayor out there. It's like, gee willikers, those guys lied to us. Oh, won't anybody help us here in Ely? Well, clearly you're not. Clearly you're not. But good luck with all that. Hey, like I said, your entire town is based on tourism. I would be far more concerned about losing that revenue stream than whether or not 20 or so jobs. And if you're lucky, because once again, a lot of these mining companies have already got, you know, bypasses set up with the federal government to bring in, ship in workers from non-union states and work them at minimum wage. But hey, good luck. Dear Lord. Hogwash. How much money do you think a hogwash can make? I mean, that's got to be a regional job. You know, it's not something, I mean, you can't find like a hogwash over there in like St. Louis Park or in Robbinsdale. There's not probably not a.
You can contract that out.
Yeah, that's something I think that's kind of – you're going to need to be around hogs. Just my theory. My theory on that one. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. We got the ag secretary showed up at Farm Fest. Oh, it was a hoot. We'll talk about that. And Stein coming up. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Do you suffer from anxiety about the current state of politics? Are you confused or easily angered by the president?
It's my party and I'll lie if I want to, lie if I want to.
Do you have an overwhelming feeling that something is going terribly wrong with the country, but don't know if Democrats are the answer?
Chuck, if you just stick with me, with Democrats we'll quickly see.
Seize defeat from jaws of victory.
Tax extend.
Join us then.
We will screw it up again.
You can't control what happens in Washington, D.C., but you can take command over how it affects you by coming to see the Capitol Steps. The Capitol Steps can provide relief from political anxiety disorder. So ask your doctor if the Capitol Steps are right for you. The Capitol Steps. They put the muck in democracy.
Capitol Steps brings their show to the Ordway on Friday, August 9th at 7:30. Purchase tickets at ordway.org. That's ordway.org.
Hey, this is your favorite producer, Eric. I'm here with Hunter, your other favorite producer. And we've got a new show on Saturdays at 7 p.m.
So tune in for Mission Accomplishers, the podcast-broadcast hybrid hosted by the fellas.
You'd be amazed at what we can accomplish. We'd love for you to check it out and subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
What missions have we accomplished?
We're working on it.
So tune in every Saturday at 7 p.m. for Mission Accomplishers and find out.
I put the program in place to protect the country.
Finding a lawyer is incredibly stressful. It can be tough to know where to start. So start with the Hennepin County Bar Association. They can connect you with over 200 thoroughly vetted, qualified attorneys practicing in over 50 areas of law. Not sure if you need an attorney or what type of attorney to request? The referral counselors at Hennepin County Bar Association can help. Call 612-752-6666 or search for Hennepin County Bar Association. The right call for the right lawyer.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday, 952-946-6205. Brad is in Robbinsdale. Let's get him on in here really quick. Hey, Brad.
Okay, a couple of days ago you joked that the Chinese had the Trump card in regard to trade. Well, they also have the neutron bomb. They can start cashing in T-bills.
Oh, yeah, they could.
If that happens, maybe you and I could chip in and maybe we can buy AT&T.
I think you and I actually need to worry about our farmers. Thanks, Brad. I appreciate the phone call. A day after China said it would stop buying food from American farmers, the top U.S. agricultural official said the ball is in China's court. God. How comforted are you if you're a farmer that after China does all this and once again, let me restart this whole thing. Trump gets elected. Trump says trade wars are easy to win. Remember that? I remember that. Trump starts jerking China around. China says, hey, stop jerking us around. Trump says, not unless you do what I tell you to do. Oh, that's going to go over well in China, which it didn't. And the thing which people don't want to acknowledge in the Trump administration is that the Chinese were buying actually more ag product from America than they needed. They were not – like on soybeans, they were buying a third more of soybeans than they needed just to let rot in the field next to a train station because they knew that the trade discrepancies were bad on other levels. So they immediately stopped the purchasing of the extra stuff, which immediately started impacting the ag markets. Soybean markets particularly got hammered. China went out and said, well, if the United States doesn't want to do this, we'll go find someone else that will. And at that moment, Trump lost the trade war with Russia, or with the Chinese. Well, with Russia. Russia's getting money. I mean, that's just, they are making money off of Donny T. They really are. The Chinese. He lost the trade war with the Chinese because he didn't understand the first thing about agricultural markets. And now the Chinese have basically said, we're going to stop purchasing all. The fourth largest buyer of American ag products, they just basically said no more. You know, and that is not because the Chinese decided to become hardliners. It's because Trump kept going on out there and swatting at the beehive. And the bees started stinging people. And he says, how dare the bees start stinging us? The bees need to make it up to us. Sonny Perdue, the ag secretary, in an appearance at FarmFest show in central Minnesota Wednesday, said hardliners in China this spring disrupted negotiations that would have ended the dispute, which has cost farmers in the Midwest more than other American businesses. Trump would love to have trade resolution, but you can't deal with a nation, the number two world economy, that cheats and steals and builds the economy. Oh, that's helping. That's helping. More insults. Good idea, Sonny Perdue. More insults. President Trump said Thursday that China had not fulfilled a promise to buy large volumes of U.S. farm products. No, what had happened was they basically got – the Trump administration got upset and uppity with the Chinese. The Chinese said, fine, we won't buy the extra product. Trump said, no, you have to buy the extra product plus some more. And Chinese said, no, we don't. And there you go, because he didn't know what he was doing. By the way – just remind yourself of that. When the auctioneer shows up at your family farm, and the farm that's been in your family for 140 years, and they're auctioning it off, and you're watching all your livestock and all your tractor out there, just remind yourself that I told you in 2016 this guy shouldn't even be in charge of unwrapping a Twinkie, let alone the federal government. And you guys said, we'll show you who's smart. Well, check and mate. And I'm sorry, because you guys are screwed, because you think that the corporate farms are going to allow this to hurt them? Oh, God, no. Every single family farm out there is done. You're doomed. You're doomed because there's no market to go to. What are you going to do? Moldova? Uganda? Where? Who's going to buy the same amount of product? They've all got deals already. And as a matter of fact, we were a godsend. Trump was a godsend for the Brazilians and the Argentinians, the Australians, the New Zealanders. We were a godsend for them because all of a sudden they got into a market that they were locked out of. And they've locked it down. You guys are fools. And listen to Sonny Perdue. The ball is in China's court. No, no. In case you missed that ace shot they just hit at us, the ball's well behind you, about 20 feet there, Sonny. You got to figure out how to fix this. And the best idea would be, I don't know, asking Trump to resign and having Vice President Pence go over on his knees and beg the Chinese to go back to the levels and saying, sorry, let's call that a mulligan and go back. But you're not going to do that. And as you keep insisting that somehow we're going to win this trade war, which we haven't. We haven't won squat. We have a worse deal with the Canadians than we did before. We basically the same deal we had with the Mexicans as we had before. So I don't know what you guys are going to do. I don't know what you guys are going to do, but you got a mess on your hands. And the only people that are going to suffer are all the family farmers in Minnesota, Iowa, the Dakotas, Nebraska, Kansas, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Missouri, all the family farmers that are in Colorado, Montana, all the ones in Wyoming, California, of course, they're in there as well. Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, all the family farmers in Texas, Oklahoma, all the family farmers in Louisiana, as well as Arkansas, Tennessee, Ohio. Boy, they're going to get creamed in Ohio. But hey, good thinking. Send in the dumb guy. What could possibly go wrong? By the way, I do want to remind you, before we get into Stein here, of two things. First of all, Capital Steps coming into town. We have a pair of tickets to give away. Not here on this show. You got to listen in the 4 o'clock hour. Listen to Hunter. He's going to be on with Eric. They got a pair of tickets to Capital Steps. Final chance to win today in the 4 o'clock hour. Make sure you're listening for your chance to win there. And a reminder as well, thanks to Todd Colad. Todd has sponsored AM950 this week. You can sponsor it too. 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885 for more information. Todd's band, Just Folk, they've got an album out. They've got a lot of actually great songs out there. These are songs which the design is to inspire the resistance. Protest to Survive is one of those songs. We'll get that posted up online for you to go take a look at. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Stein, when we do return, it is the Matt McNeil Show on AM950.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
Do you suffer from anxiety about the current state of politics? Are you confused or easily angered by the president?
It's my party and I'll lie if I want to, lie if I want to.
Do you have an overwhelming feeling that something is going terribly wrong with the country, but don't know if Democrats are the answer?
Chuck, if you just stick with me, with Democrats we'll quickly see.
Seize defeat from jaws of victory.
Tax extend.
Join us then.
We will screw it up again.
You can't control what happens in Washington, D.C., but you can take command over how it affects you by coming to see the Capital Steps. The Capital Steps can provide relief from political anxiety disorder. So ask your doctor if the Capital Steps are right for you. The Capital Steps. They put the muck in democracy.
Capital Steps brings their show to the Ordway on Friday, August 9th at 7:30. Purchase tickets at ordway.org. That's ordway.org.
Hi, this is Evelyn. Dad, don't make me do what you made Charlie do.
You want to drive, right?
Fine. My dad is cooler than all YouTube and Instagram celebrities combined. Matt McNeil.
That's lit.
Whatever. I'm getting ready to start my behind-the-wheel driver's training, and my dad says the only vehicles he wants me learning in are Toyotas. Fine with me, because I love them, too.
The vehicles I trust for my young children are the vehicles I trust for their own driving adventure. It's safety and security you can't beat. Test drive a fantastic Toyota today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 west of the downtown in Golden Valley.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers, you've heard the shouters, the haters, the beraters. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Wednesday, chance of showers, high near 82. Thursday, sunny with a high near 77. And Friday, patchy fog, then mostly sunny with a high near 80. Join Country Financial for the 2019 Minneapolis Farmers Market Chef Challenge. Local chefs will have 20 minutes to shop the market with $50 to spend and 30 minutes to prepare their own unique Farmers Market fresh dishes. The event starts at 10 a.m. this Saturday, August 10th at 312 East Lindale in Minneapolis. Find out more at MinneapolisFarmersMarket.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Programming brought to you by eatlocalminnesota.com. It's Greek to me, the restaurant of the week. Fantastic food over there. Great vegetarian options as well. check out their party rooms. They have a great time. And, of course, it's all great traditional Greek food. One of my favorite locations in town, too, Lindale and Lake, right there in South Minneapolis. It's Greek to me. It's the LocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. Jeff Steins, our national and presidential expert, noted author, Common Good Books in St. Paul. TotallyIowa.com is the next chapter books in St. Paul. TotallyIowa.com is the place you can find his books as well. IowaWatch.org is the public service show. And, of course, he's joining us from KXEL, Cedar Falls and Waterloo. Hey, Jeff. We're listening to music. All right.
All right, I'll have to figure that out.
All righty. Take a second there. Because I'm interested in finding out what the heck is up with in regards to Jeff's take on this ag thing. Because I know that is it is what it is. It is what it is. Oh, by the way, and we got it. We think we got it now.
Show you can jump in as no. Well. 800-801-8999.
Not something. It's broadcasting something. Yeah, if you pop your headset on, you can hear. It's not there. All right, I'll let you figure that out. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I have never seen a president. Oh, and by the way, just FYI, have him call the regular caller in line too. You know, I can have him do that too. I've never seen a president who, you know, at a time when we have a shooting of this nature, being told not to come to this area because they feel as if the shooter was inspired by him. And granted, the Dayton shooter, we still are not quite sure about. We're not 100% sure about what the situation is with the Dayton shooter. And once again, it sounds like that's a mental health issue, something that we've known quite a bit about over the time. So it's something that we hopefully we can find a way to get past these Republicans and deal with mental health issues and basically say people who are possibly mentally compromised should not have full guns or anything like that. But at the same time, it's a case where the two shootings in El Paso and the shootings – let's bring Jeff on in here. The shootings in El Paso and the shootings in Dayton, Ohio – the Garlic Festival. Let me make sure. The Garlic Festival in Gilroy, California and in El Paso clearly were white supremacist-inspired shootings. And some of the rhetoric does match stuff that the Trump administration has put out there. And so, you know, can you ever remember when I was having a national tragedy of this nature, Jeff? And them telling the president not to come?
Well, this president, I think they've said before, in other situations, certainly with regard to natural disasters, they don't want him. But again, it is a watershed moment, isn't it? When you have such a polarized society that, I mean, the folks in Dayton, the mayor, she didn't want him there. I don't think the governor was a real big fan of him being there. And again, that's the other situation as opposed to the motives of the Garlic Festival in El Paso. So, you know, it is an odd situation when you say, I don't want the leader of the free world to come in his role as comforter-in-chief. Because as you think about it, and this is not a political statement, but Trump doesn't inspire that sort of thing. Clinton, Bill Clinton, was the kind of guy that when there was a flood that decimated Des Moines, Iowa, 26 years ago, he comes and puts his arm around sandbaggers. Barack Obama, to a lesser degree, but only because Clinton was so good at it, had the same ability for comforting. Not the current president. I mean, I don't know who would feel comforted. It's not his demeanor. It's not his thing. And then, on top of all that, you add the political the context where those challenged individuals who committed those crimes are parroting things that he has said. Well, yeah, I'm stunned by it, but not surprised by it. If that makes sense.
Well, no, it makes a tremendous amount of sense. I will go to the Dayton. One thing we should mention about Dayton is that when he comes on out and says Toledo. You know, and okay, bumbling. Oh, he's not the best with words. We should never tolerate within 24 hours of a tragedy a president coming on out there and not even knowing. And the thing is, that was on a teleprompter. That was staff members. That was someone. They just didn't care. How do you not know exactly where a massacre has just happened in your own country?
Well, when that's your job, there's no excuse.
Exactly.
All right? Now, the thing, and I recorded his remarks for air on the radio. I did not watch them live, all right, and I played them an hour later because of programming things I had going on here at the radio station. But I had known that Twitter had blown up about it, so I was paying very close attention to the words as they were spoken, okay, as I replayed it. There's a hint, and again, I didn't ever see the audio or the video, so I can't tell. There's a hint that after he read it, he knew something was wrong, but couldn't recover enough to correct the error. Yes, it was a staff error in the teleprompter that he continues to criticize Barack Obama for using, but it's what he still relies on, all right, because that's what everyone does. So it's almost like he read it, he knew it wasn't right, but he didn't know what to do except exit stage left. I mean, you know, when you have to be that tightly scripted so that you can sound sincere and with emotion, that's a problem. Yes, it's a staff issue that's inexcusable, but again, how can you not recover? How do you not know enough to recover? Remember when, and I'm no big Bill Clinton fan, but I'm now going to mention him a second time today. You remember when he was going to give, and now I don't recall if it was the State of the Union or it was another address to a joint session of Congress, but he started the speech, and he realized that that was the wrong speech. He stopped, he whispered something to Al Gore, and went back and vamped until they could load the correct speech in the teleprompter. And then he picked up because he knew the material enough to where he could talk about it. And yes, in a major address like that, you have to have the words be exactly right, and so you want to be careful. But he knew enough. You just had a sense that if the teleprompter went off, Trump would blame and then jab his index finger at the audience, the people in the back in the lamestream media. Mm-hmm. He would blame them for his teleprompter going off because he wouldn't have anything to say.
Well, and, you know, the guy's got a popularity problem as it is. I mean, if he would have just gotten to Dayton today, gone down there, and the first thing he would have said is, I want to apologize from the bottom of my heart for the mistake I will take blame for, that we mentioned another town as opposed to referencing Dayton right after the shooting. That was inexcusable. And from me, my staff, everyone in the White House, everyone in the administration, we're sorry. Okay. It doesn't necessarily take away the pain of naming the wrong town, but it's I get it. Trump's not that guy, but the fact that he doesn't have someone around him telling him to be that guy and forcing him to be that guy is just, you know, it's almost as inexcusable as the mistake initially, because, you know, this is, you know, a lot of this stuff is ceremonial and stuff like this, and being there when a natural disaster or a tragedy happens, and he just has no ability, no empathy, no ability to be sympathetic. And it's what, one of the reasons why I think I'm really starting to think that as long as there's not an assassination attempt on the Democratic nominee, that he's going to get walloped come 2020.
We're going to disagree on that because I think there's just too much left to go, and we don't know who the nominee is.
How are farms doing down in Iowa today? We'll get to that point in a second.
We got a fair amount of rain Monday, so better than you would think. But here's the thing with regard to Trump and apologies. The statement was made. Was there ever an apology or a response from the White House indicating, acknowledging that Toledo was said instead of Dayton? Was there anything? I didn't see it.
Nope.
I didn't hear it. So to your point, should he have gone there today and said, I'm really sorry for misspeaking? I'm going to say no, and the only reason is it should have been done 48 hours ago.
Yeah.
It should have been done immediately. And again, you'd have to have an individual who could accept that something he did was not the highest, fastest, and strongest ever in the history of personkind. And he's not that guy, right? Mm-hmm. Everything he does in his mind and in his words is the best ever. Admit a mistake? Okay. challenge the audience. Find a time when he admitted a mistake.
You know, and that's fine when you're putting a wager on a World Cup soccer game. And it's fine there. But you see, and this is the true tragedy of this guy, is that, you know, he is the absolute worst kind of person to have running a country, because even W. Bush, who I didn't agree on a lot of things, you know, he, you know, well, Katrina aside, that was a nightmare for them, that they, you know, and their response was just equally as bad. But when you looked at 9/11, I mean, he was out there, and yeah, photo ops and that stuff, but he was there. He was trying to get the people in Ground Zero. He was trying to talk to them. You know, this is not a Democrat or Republican thing. This is just the character of the human being, and that has got to be acknowledged.
Oh, I don't doubt. I'm not questioning at all. And that's what I'm saying is, you would have to have somebody who had some level of humility to be able to say, I obviously didn't type it into the teleprompter, but I should have caught it. The buck stops here. Use whatever you want. But that's not this guy. And I am glad you mentioned W, because for all the things you can say about the election of 2000 and the wars that followed 9/11, the time period around 9/11 is when he did distinguish himself at a time that was necessary. And I don't know that there's a lot of dispute about that, because it was an impossible situation. And maybe because the bar, because nobody's expectation was very high, maybe that's part of it. But again, there was at least something that was going on there when you would see him speak, something in the eyes. You don't see that with the current occupant of the office.
Well, and let's be honest with you. I think with W-2 is they kind of dropped the ball when it said bin Laden determined to strike in the U.S. I think there was part of that that they realized that how – I mean, there was the question of how much was this on us, not Cheney per se, but I think the rest of them, they're asking that question a lot afterwards. But needless to say, yeah, he showed empathy at times. He was able to go on out there. This is not something that Trump is even capable of. It brings up an interesting point as well with in regards to – you cannot deny, like the SIAC guy down in Florida that just was sentenced to 20 years in prison, the bomber guy that was sending around the things. You cannot deny there is an influence by Trump on his actions. Now, Trump didn't mail any bombs. That guy did. But he was inspired by Trump. You have words almost verbatim coming from the administration being played out in these manifestos that the Gilroy, California shooter, the El Paso shooter have put out. I mean, it is, as you have this argument, and Trump today is trying to make the argument, well, there's you know, it's apples and oranges, it's white supremacists and Antifa. The problem is with that argument is, to my knowledge, Antifa hasn't killed anyone. And just in the last week and a half, white supremacists have killed 25 people. And you know, this is the every FBI, CIA, everyone who does any kind of intelligence says the biggest problem we've got in this country now is white supremacists and these potentials for these strikes. And yet, you know, because he needs those white supremacists to vote Trump, the Republicans and Trump, they just seem to be incredibly hesitant to call this what it is. And that is also just mind-numbing.
It would resonate more if, for example, the president comes out on Monday and says the right words about unity and not racism, and then says, I am going to El Paso to show on behalf of the nation that the United States, as a people, we're all together and we're all behind you.
Yes.
It would be fine if that – and that was all done, right? I mean, that was all done. But then last night, why do you pick last night as the time to make fun of Beto O'Rourke's nickname? You could have done that a zillion times before and after. Why the night before you go to his hometown? I think there's plenty you can plenty of way you can take shots at Beto O'Rourke, verbal shots, and make fun of him, and you can do all of this. But the night before you go to his hometown to honor 22 people who were massacred, it's not just 10 year. There's a deliberateness to it, and it's a Jekyll Hyde kind of thing. And there's no way you can take seriously the comments about let's all be together, let's all be unified, when that happens last night. And what happened today on the plane between Dayton and El Paso? I'm assuming these are very respectful, sobering situations when you go and meet with families and survivors. And yet in Air Force One, as it flew over the Mississippi River, he starts tweeting about Sleepy Joe Biden. I don't know how. I mean, the White House, the people who've watched the White House before have said he gets in the way of their messaging all the time. They have a message of the day, and it's lost. And every White House has done this. This is not a Trump thing or a Republican thing. Every White House has a message that they want to carry the news cycle in a day. And many strategists and communications professionals work to put that out every single day. If it ever gets derailed, well, then it's they've wasted all their time. This president derails the narrative constantly. And on a day when you are pledging to help heal the nation, when you can't stay off your iPhone long enough, then the whole thing just seems hollow. It cannot seem genuine.
Impetulant man-child. I mean, that's what it is. When we take a break, let's come on back. I want to get into
one of my favorite bar groups, by the way, in college. Impetulant man-child.
When we do return, we got to get into the agriculture, the Chinese deal, and the real danger here to the ag industry. Jeff Stein joining us, 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. I'm back from my sabbatical with a phenomenal show. I'll talk about Ed Dwight, who could have been America's first black color astronaut. Then the big interview is with Juliana Richardson, founder of The History Makers, a nonprofit that's recorded 3,000-plus video interviews of black color Americans who talk about what it's like to live in white America. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hello, fellow AM950 listeners. This is Jaja from Nightingale at 26 in Lindale. Come experience our delicious signature dishes and exciting rotation of inventive seasonal fare for my wife and chef, Carrie, and her team. Nightingale is the perfect place to gather for any occasion with our extensive wine, beer, and cocktail selection, along with our dedication to great service. We offer a full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., two award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend brunch at 10. More at nightingalempls.com.
Tune in to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We discuss national and local Native American news and events.
2 hours is still not long enough. Join Robert Pilot, Wendy Pilot, and me, Uncle Curtis.
Weekly correspondents include Winona LaDuke, John Greendeer, and Representative Mary Kanush Podine.
Broadcast live AM 950 Saturdays, 1 to 3 p.m.
We'll be broadcasting live at the Minnesota State Fair August 24th.
At the International Market Bazaar.
Brought to you by Robbins Kaplan and Ho-Chunk Nation.
We are Awake.
So, you're finally coming to grips that it's time to replace your carpet. Or maybe you want to update the look of your favorite room. Lucky for you, there's Z Floors by Zero Res. It's my trusted one-stop shop for all my flooring needs. So when nothing but new will do, check out the new Zero Res flooring experience at z-floors.com.
Also, right now it's the Zero Res end of summer sale where you can get 3 rooms of carpet clean starting at only $129. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit zeroresminnesota.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us right now. Jeff, I can't imagine. I talked to an Iowa hog producer over the holidays. He was up visiting some family in town. I got a chance to sit down with him. He said, you know, his point to me was, it's like, I'm getting creamed in this trade war, but I still support Trump. Well, that was before the Chinese basically cut off all ag trade. I can't imagine down in ag-heavy Iowa that this news is going over very well at all.
State Fair starts on Thursday.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I just did a story about the African swine fever and how it has decimated the Chinese pork industry to where half of their hogs, they've lost half of the hogs. I mean, they've been killed. They've had to be killed because of the disease. They're importing from elsewhere. And there's a thought that because of the severity of the crisis in China, that might lead to some agreement between the U.S. and China. Obviously, the positioning of the Chinese today would suggest otherwise, but so much of this, whether it's the tariffs on the American side or these threats on the Chinese side, it's posturing to save face, and then they go back, and it's almost like professional wrestling, again, something Trump has some familiarity with. The thing that I've said to you before, and I still believe, until there's a vote and another name on a ballot, the people who supported Trump are going to support Trump. It's not until the Democrats have a nominee, and then you can see how it plays out.
But
will they actually say that they no longer support him? Because there's no point for it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and I do hear that. But, I mean, aren't you seeing these stories where these farmers who come on out and say, yeah, I voted for Trump, I'll never do that again? I mean, we just had a guy here in Minnesota, Washington Post picked up the story. Because of this trade war, he basically has lost his dairy farm. They're auctioning everything off. And it's all of a sudden, it's starting reminding me like 1984 again. And you and I both know this. The corporate farms are not going to be the ones that go under. It's going to be the mom and pop shops, and with China being the fourth largest supplier, that's a lot of farms going under.
You're absolutely right about that part, but the thing that I would say, and again, it may not ring as true where you are as opposed to where I am, but there is still not the sense. Let me phrase it this way: they're not really thinking about Trump, okay? They're thinking about, we need USMCA to be passed by the Congress. We need a deal with China. We need a full deal with the European Union. I need rain because many parts of southern Iowa are 5 inches behind normal for the 3 summer months. Okay, so, and really only 2 summer months. We're barely into August. So the point is that I don't really think they're as focused on that as they are the nuts and bolts. Now, is there a connection? Oh, heavens yes. I mean, Trump announces another tariff. Okay, that has an impact. I just don't yet see the abandoning that you might otherwise expect. At least I'm not hearing it publicly because, again, as I say, I think they're focused on more nuts and bolts things. Now, that in large part could be because the state is full of Democrats right now because of the caucuses. And again, after that situation crystallizes, we have this conversation in mid-March, we'll know who the Democratic nominee is, won't we? I mean, Super Tuesday, California, boom, we're done. And then you can really get down to some specifics. But I think for many people, I hate to be so flip as to say he's a sideshow for them, but I think to a large degree he's still a sideshow for them.
Are you concerned at all? We got about a minute here. Are you concerned at all about the story that China might actually be trying to purposely tank the U.S. economy to sway the 2020 election? Under the argument is that they already know that they can't deal with Trump. Trump's just asking too much in return. They're not going to come back to those levels. And basically, do you buy any of that?
I don't know that it's this big organized thing, but it wouldn't surprise me if a nation like China said, you know what, if we can get our pork from other places, if we can wait these folks out because we have a very different system, get him out of there. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me that they're going to play the four-corner stall game in order to get the guy they can't deal with out of office, but I don't find that to be nefarious or anything like that.
I'd be very concerned on whether or not we're going to be able to get those ag levels back to where they used to be, though.
Yeah. No, that's very true. No, I have concern about it. I guess maybe I didn't pick up on the point of the question. I have concern about the outcome of that, to be sure. But will the Chinese take action to make Americans hurt so bad they won't vote for Trump again? Yeah, you could put that in the bank, sure. Oh,
especially with not just the ag side, but all the manufacturing side, too, that they have control of.
Absolutely. Technology, intellectual property, heaven, Jeff.
Obviously. Jeff Stein, once again, we'll put up the Iowa Politics Report a little bit later on. Jeff, thank you very much for dealing with the tech problems. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
I will be here, sir.
All right. We are back tomorrow. Have a good one. Until tomorrow, see you.